Well, praise God. How many of you guys brought your Bibles tonight? Like two people. All right, if you brought your Bible, let me see it. Put it up in the air. Give me a whoop, whoop. There we go. Hey, Mark, they're getting better. Well, praise the Lord. I have a lot to say to you, so I might go a little fast tonight, but I trust the Lord will give you understanding all things. The Bible says that. So if you brought your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn them with me to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. And keep in mind, as we read Joshua chapter 1, it's the time where Moses has passed away, and God is transferring the leadership of the children of Israel from Moses to Joshua, all right? So tonight we pick up here, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and from this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory.'" Verse number 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, verse 5 tonight, I find a very, very interesting phrase. So if you look with me again at verse number 5, watch what God tells Joshua here. He says to Joshua, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Let me read that again. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." The word "stand" here in verse number 5, the word "stand" means to place yourself in a stationary position in front of someone in order to block them. Let me say that again. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5, the word "stand" here means to place yourself in a stationary position in front of someone in order to block them. And so basically what happens is God comes along here to Joshua and says to Joshua, "You know what, Joshua, as you and as the children of Israel endeavor to carry out my will, there will be people and there will be nations that will stand up, that will rise up and place themselves in front of you in order to block you." Let me say it like this. God is telling Joshua, "Hey, Joshua, listen, as you go about carrying out my will, and as you go about obtaining my promise, there will be people, there will be things, the devil, stuff will rise up and put itself between you and the promise. Joshua, just because I'm God, and just because I've given you a word, a promise, does not mean that you'll not encounter troubles. Does not mean that you'll not encounter people and things rising up to stand between you and the promise I've given you." Now, how many of you know tonight that God's word is not a history lesson? Amen? How many of you realize tonight that the Bible says that all scripture has been given to us and it is profitable for us? And so it's not written as a history lesson. Thank God for our senior pastors that have taught us so. And so what God is saying to you and I today is, hey, as you endeavor to carry out my will, as young adults, as you endeavor to obtain the promises that I have freely given you, there will be problems, there will be people, the devil, things, stuff will come up and place itself in front of you in order to keep you from what I've given you. Are you with me so far? Now tonight, the whole reason why God comes along and he tells Joshua this is because God wants Joshua to know ahead of time so that when problems did arise, when nations did rise up, when they wanted to go to war, that it wouldn't take Joshua by surprise. Listen, if God can get it through to Joshua and tonight, if God can get it through to you and I that, hey, in life, you will face problems, then when problems arise, when people stand up, when things happen, it's not going to take you by surprise. Are you with me in the house? It's not going to throw you off guard. It's not going to put you, it's not going to stun you. It's not going to freak you out. It's not going to put you in a place of inactivity. And so the whole reason why God, along with this wonderful promise and instruction, and you say, well, Pastor Joey, why'd you read all 9 verses? Because you could, so just so you could see all that God was giving right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, God comes along and says, hey, you're going to face some stuff, but it's going to be all right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Watch what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 14. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Watch. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward. When tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So right here in Jesus' own words, we see, hey man, the word is sown, the devil comes. The word is sown, the word is given, it's planted in our hearts, tribulation and persecution arise. Hey, the word is sown, God speaks something good to you, you leave service excited, ready to go for God, and all of a sudden, the cares of this world, maybe desires for other things, things arise in order to keep us from God's word. And so again, if you and I realize it ahead of time, hey, it won't be a surprise to us. It won't push us off guard. It won't push us away from the things God has for us. One more verse tonight, and you don't have to turn there. We've got it on the overhead. It's John chapter 16 and verse number 33. Jesus says this. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Watch what he says. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so tonight, young adults, the truth of the matter is that you and I will face problems. Jesus comes along and he says it right here. But the good news, too, is that God has overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And listen, tonight, if you're in Jesus, you're going to overcome, too. Amen. Well, tonight, if you can't tell already, I want to talk to you about problems. Problemas. And tonight, I find that in the body of Christ, I find in Christendom, I find in the church world today that there are myths and there are truths about problems. And so tonight, I want to do some myth busting tonight. Anybody know the show Mythbusters? Do you guys feel like doing some myth busting tonight? All right, so I want to do some myth busting tonight, and I want to talk to you guys tonight about that there are myths and truths that you and I need to be aware of, that the Bible talks about. Myth number one. There's this myth, and we've got it up here. Myth number one, if I live a life of doing what is right, I won't face any more problems. There's this idea that, hey, if I do what is right, if I do what is good, I'm not going to face any more problems. It's almost like people have this idea, you know what? If I live a holy life, if I live a spiritual life, there's this realm, there's this sphere I can attain to where spiritually I'm so on it, man, I'm not going to face any more problems. But I want you to know tonight that you can live a lily white life and still face problems. I want you to know tonight you can live a perfect life. You can live what God calls a spiritual life. You can live according to the word of God and, hey, still face problems. Some people have the idea that, you know what, hey, if something happened in your life, man, you've got some deep, dark, ugly sin in the closet that nobody knows about. You did something, and that's why this is happening to you. But I want you to know, you can live a perfect life. You can live the life God has called you to and still face problems. Is anybody with me tonight? Now, before we go any further, let me just say, I'm not by any means saying that we are not to live a spiritual life. You and I are to strive to live a spiritual life. You and I are to strive to live a holy life. It's not something to be made fun of. It's not something to be mocked or put down. The Bible says that you and I are to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. I don't know about you, those are hard words to swallow. But you and I can face problems, you and I can live a life that's right before the eyes of God and still face problems. Let me show what I mean. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2. The myth is that, hey, if I do what's right, that means I'm not gonna have any problems. Life is gonna be peachy keen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18. Now, as we read, keep in mind, you will not find the word employee or employer in the Bible. Well, you will find where the Bible referred to servants and masters. And today, thank God, we live in a country where slavery has been abolished. And so when you see servant and servants and masters, you can liken that to employees and employers. Pastor Luke mentioned that, I don't know, I think it was last week or maybe a couple weeks ago. Employees and employers. So Peter comes along here and watch what he says. He says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Watch what he says. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Is there anybody in here that has a different translation for the word harsh? Can you raise your hand? What does yours say? What does it say? Cruel. Not only to the good and gentle, but to the cruel. Anybody have something different besides harsh or cruel? What do you got? Forward? Froward. Froward. Anybody have something different? I thought I saw some hands back over here. You guys just scared? Come on. Well, same thing? Okay. Anybody have anything else? There are other translations that say the unjust, the unfair, the unruly. So Peter comes along and says, servants or employees, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, to the froward, to the unruly, unkind, unfair. And so what God is doing through Peter here is he's declaring, hey, you and I as employees, we need to remain the same on our job, regardless if we work for a good and a kind, good and gentle employer, or if we don't. Is there anybody here who can raise your hand and say, man, I've worked for employees that are just, they're like the employee from heaven. You couldn't get more wonderful than them. There's like three people. Everybody that works here at the church, your hand better be raised. Fired. No, just kidding. All right, so let me try this one. Is there anybody in here who's ever worked for a boss that they're like the boss from hell? More hands. And so Peter comes along here, and God is telling us through Peter, hey, you and I are to remain the same on the job. Listen, guys, it's about time that we as Christians come to a place in our life that, you know what, regardless if my boss is kind and gentle or if he's harsh, unfair, unruly, unjust, doesn't like me, hey, I'm going to remain true to Jesus Christ. I'm going to remain true to my Christianity. I'm going to remain true to what God has for me. I'm going to remain true to what I know God would have me to do. I'm not going to become unsubmissive. I'm not going to become rebellious. I'm not going to cheat my way through because I feel like my boss is unkind, unharsh, unfair, unruly. He shouldn't be a boss. All right? The Bible comes along and says, you and I are to remain the same. We are to remain clear to our conscience. All right? Now, keep in mind, our myth is you can live a good life. You can live doing what's right and still face problems. Watch what Peter says here in verse number 19. He says, for this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief. Underline this next phrase, suffering wrongfully. Suffering wrongfully. Verse number 20, he says, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. I want you to notice here, in verse number 20, I hear Peter talk about two kinds of suffering, two kinds of problems, two kinds of things. Number one, he says, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, Suffering number one, you and I can suffer because of our own faults, because of our own decisions, the things that we choose, the way we, hey, I'm gonna go this way, I'm gonna do this. Without a showing of hands, is there anybody in here who maybe you spent too much on the credit card and you ended up suffering for it? Maybe you opened, I saw some hands get raised. It's all good. We've all been there. Maybe you're in here and, hey, you said something on the job and it got around and you ended up suffering for it. And so Peter lists two kinds of suffering. Suffering number one, because of our own faults, our own choices. Watch this. Suffering number two, but when you do good and suffer. When you do what's right and suffer. When you follow what God would have you to do. When you stay clear to your conscience and you suffer. It says, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Tonight, isn't it wild that you can do what is right and you can do what is good and you can do what you know God would have you to do and still end up suffering for it? Maybe on the job, your employer or your employees, man, you get on the job and you start to work, and man, they start cussing like they usually do. They start telling dirty jokes, and you said, you know what, man, I'm not going to have any part of that. And so you were persecuted. Oh, who do you think you are? Oh, right, oh, more righteous than all of us. You ended up suffering for doing what's good. Listen, in the Bible, there's a story by the name of Joseph. Joseph comes to my mind when I read verses like this. Joseph is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, maybe because that's my name, and I found that I could relate to it. But listen, the story of Joseph is a story about someone's life who was one misunderstanding after misunderstanding. One demotion after another demotion. And you'll find that as you look at the story of Joseph, you'll find that, man, he was doing what was right. He didn't deserve what he got. So quickly tonight, here's Joseph, and he has these dreams. He's being really favored by his father, and he's having these dreams. And some people say, well, Joseph shouldn't have said anything about his dreams. You know, after all, telling somebody you're going to end up bowing down to me, that might go over a little wrong. Anybody with me in the house? Okay, so I can agree with that. Maybe Joseph should have kept his mouth shut. At the same time, it wasn't worthy of getting thrown in a pit. His own family, his own brothers, jealous of him and the favor that his father was showing him. They throw him in a pit, sell him into slavery. Some people are passing by. They take Joseph, then they resell him again. And they sell him to an Egyptian, a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar was one of the captains in Pharaoh's army, if I remember correctly. But Potiphar, the Bible says that Joseph comes along and Joseph began to do what was good. Joseph began to do what was right. Joseph worked in such a way, he did so much good, he did so much right, he's had such an excellent spirit that the Bible actually says this about Joseph. It says that Potiphar turned over everything to Joseph. All of his house, all of his money, all the decisions, he gave it to Joseph. Joseph was trustworthy. The Bible actually goes as far to say that Potiphar didn't know about any decisions that were being made in his house. He didn't know what was going on. All he knew is that everywhere he went in his house, everything that he saw concerning every situation of his household, it prospered. That's how good Joseph worked. Then you know the rest of the story. Potiphar's wife decides that she's going to seduce him. And so there Joseph is being tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he flees the crime scene, right? After he does what is right again, does right what is right before God, Joseph gets framed for rape. Joseph gets framed for rape. He gets thrown in jail, man, after doing what's right. Listen, I don't know if I can live up to the name, because after that, I would have been complaining. I'd have been like, God, what is going on? I don't think so. I've been doing what you've told me to do. Why am I suffering? Why am I being thrown in prison? Joseph, being the good man that he was, Joseph continues to do what's good. Joseph continues to do what's right in the prison. So much so that even as a prisoner, Joseph ends up being the ruler of the prisoner. Have you ever heard of that before? Make a long story short, there's a butler and a baker. They have dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. The butler lives. The baker dies. As the butler goes on to Pharaoh's palace, to Pharaoh's courts, he says, don't forget about me. You know I'm a good man, and get me out of here. So the butler goes on, forgets about Joseph. Forgets about Joseph. It's like, oh my gosh. 2 more years go by, Pharaoh has a dream, and all of a sudden the butler's like, oh yeah, there's a guy in jail that helped me. He got me out. And you know what? He interpreted my dream, And so he could probably interpret yours. So the Pharaoh goes ahead and calls Joseph to him. He interprets the dream. Again, making a long story short, Joseph becomes second in command of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. And so the myth that needs to be busted is, hey, you can live good, doing good, and you can live doing right and end up suffering for it. But the good part of it also that I'm glad I get to share this with you is if you keep on doing what's right, you keep on doing what's good before God on the job, you keep on doing what's right with your family, you keep on doing what's right with your finances, you keep on doing what you see God would have you to do, and guess what? Just like Joseph, you're going to keep popping to the top. Is anybody in the house tonight? Listen, you may be on your job and your boss may not value you the way you think you ought to be valued. You may be with your family and your friends and they may not value your gift the way you think they ought to value it. You may not be noticed how you think you ought to be noticed, but I want you to know, if you keep on doing what's right, God will lift you up. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. The Bible says, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest. Is anybody in the house? God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, young adults, if you keep on doing what's right, God will see to it that you end up where you're supposed to be, where he has for you. Are you in the house tonight? Myths and truths about problems. Number one, I can live a good life. I can live a perfect life and end up facing stuff. Myth number two tonight, there's this idea out there that, hey, if I'm in faith about something, I'll never again face another negative report in that area of my life. In other words, a circumstance, a problem, something has arisen, and hey, you know what? I went ahead and I did what God would have for me to do, and I stepped out in faith. And now because I'm in faith, that means everything's going to be all right. Guess what? Everything is going to be all right, but that does not exclude you from still facing problems in that area. Let me show you what I mean. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If I'm in faith about something, I won't get a negative report in that area ever again. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. You say, Pastor Joey, that's really a simple truth. But we know people, man. They went ahead and they had a problem. They had something arise. They had something come up in their life, and they did what they knew God would have them to do, and they stepped out there in faith. And then after they stepped out there in faith, they received a negative report about their situation. Listen to me tonight, guys. And it blew them out of the water. It blew them out of the water. God must not have heard my prayer. I must not really have been in faith. Something must be wrong. Blew them out of the water. But the truth of the matter is you can approach your situation by faith and still encounter negative reports. Now, this is a story about Jairus. It's Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. Watch what it says here. It says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Verse number 24 says, so Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So here Jairus is, man, and this problem has risen up in his life. His daughter's at the point of death. So he goes ahead and he sees Jesus and he does what God would have him to do. And he approaches Jesus by faith and says, Jesus, if you come to my house, lay your hands on my daughter, she'll live and she'll not die. And so Jesus says, you know what? Wherever I was going, I'm not going anymore. I'm going with you. And so Jesus starts following Jairus. Now, if I were Jairus, I would have thought, man, Jesus is on his way. I don't have anything else to worry about. Jesus is on his way. He's going to lay hands on my daughter and it's all going to be all good. Well, on the way to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood comes in and she interrupts the whole procession, all right? Headed to Jairus' house, this woman with the issue of blood, she gets healed. Jesus has her tell her story. They dialogue back and forth. He's talking to the disciples. While he's talking to the disciples, while he's speaking, if you'll go with me now to verse number 35, watch what happens here. Jairus has stepped out in faith. The woman with the issue of blood has come and interrupted the procession. And the Bible says here in verse number 35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Why trouble the teacher any further? So here Jairus is, man. He stepped out in faith. Jesus was on his way to his house, and these people come from Jairus' house and say, listen, your daughter died. I'm sorry, your daughter, she didn't make it. Don't trouble the teacher any longer. And so we see here Jairus step out in faith and receive a negative report after he does this. And how many of you realize tonight Jesus actually stepped out in faith, and Jesus received a negative report in an area of his life? All right, so we're going to take a quick pause from this story, and I want to tell you the story in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus actually steps out in faith and receives a negative report. Are you ready? So Mark chapter 11, Jesus is outside of Jerusalem. All right, so we're going to kind of split the congregation just so you can see this. All you guys, you represent outside of Jerusalem, all right, wherever Jesus is staying. All right, then this far side over here, you represent Jerusalem, all right, where Jesus is going. You guys in the middle, you're a fig tree. All right, so Jesus comes from wherever he's staying outside of Jerusalem, and he's headed to Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, he sees this fig tree, the Bible says, from afar off. Jesus is hungry, so he goes ahead and he goes up to the fig tree, and he finds no figs on it. The Bible says it was the season for figs. There should have been figs on this tree. All right, so Jesus is like, I don't think so. So Jesus speaks out to this fig tree, all right, to you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus speaks out to this fig tree, and he says, let no man eat fruit of you ever again. Now let's take another time out, and let's pretend like you're one of the disciples, all right? You are following Jesus Christ. You are following this miracle worker, the one who opens blind eyes, the one who opens deaf ears. People have been lame since birth. They walk when they get around Jesus. Jesus raises people from the dead. Don't you know that if Jesus tells a fig tree, let no man eat fruit of you ever again, don't you know you're going to be paying attention to that fig tree? You're going to be like, right? So Jesus leaves wherever he is staying, outside of Jerusalem, passes by this fig tree, curses the fig tree, goes to Jerusalem. All right? Then you'll find the story where Jesus makes the whip and he kicks the tax collectors out of the temple, all right? And says, this, my house will be a house of prayer. He does all this, and the Bible says, when evening came, Jesus left Jerusalem and went back outside of Jerusalem, all right? Now, the reason why we know that he left Jerusalem and went back to where he was, because the next verse immediately following says, early the next morning, as they were passing by, Peter shouts out, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered from the roots. It's withered. It's gone. Okay, Pastor Jerry, what's your point? The point is that when he left Jerusalem, after kicking the tax collectors out of the temple, that evening when they passed by, there is no change in the fig tree. Don't you know Peter would have shouted out right there, oh my gosh, look at the fig tree, it's withered. Jesus, after speaking to the fig tree, after stepping out there in faith, goes ahead and curses this fig tree, goes all day long doing what God would have him to do, leaves Jerusalem, comes back, and there's no change in the fig tree. It wasn't until not only that whole day had gone by, but the next morning, all night long, that fig tree showed any change in obedience to God's word. You say, okay, Pastor Joy, what's your point? The point is that when you come up and you get hands laid on you because you're sick in your body, and somebody prays the prayer of faith over you, doing what God would have you and them to do, knowing that the Bible says that by his stripes, you are healed. And then you walk away from the prayer line and you go back about your next day. The day after, you go see the doctor, and the doctor comes and gives you a negative report. Hey, it's gotten worse. You went ahead and you gave in the tithe and offering bucket, believing God. Hey, you know what, God? You said in your word that if I'm faithful to my tithe, you will open up the windows of heaven for me and pour me out of blessing so much so that I contain. And then you go ahead and you leave this building. A couple days go by, a week goes by, and it only seems like your finances are getting worse. I'm here to tell you, if you keep on keeping on in faith, you will see God's promise come to pass in your life. Just like Jesus passed the fig tree, you can clap. Just like Jesus passed a fig tree and he saw no change doesn't mean that God wasn't at work. And I'm here to tell you tonight, young adults, just because you pray and you step out there in faith and you do what you feel and you know God would have you to do, just because you receive a negative report after that doesn't mean God isn't working on your situation. There's a reason why Ephesians chapter 6 says, "And having done all to stand." And having done all to stand, period. Stand therefore. I'm here to tell you, if you stand long enough, you'll see the fruit produced in your life that God has for you. Amen? And so, to go back real quick to Jay Iris' story, I want you to notice here, in verse number 35 again, Mark chapter 5, verse number 35, it says, "While Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?'" And then the rest of the story is Jesus ends up going to his house. The daughter did die. He walks in the house, kicks out all the people who are mourning. Don't you like how Jesus just kicks people out? "I don't like you." No, just kidding. And he raises her from the dead, all right? That's the end of the story. And so myth one, we can live a good life, still face problems. Myth two, we can step out in faith and still receive a negative report after we stepped out in faith. All right, and then remember we said we're talking about myths and truths. So real quick, three truths I find about problems. And it's found here in verse number 36. After Jairus got this negative report of his daughter passing away, I want you to notice Jesus' response to Jairus here. In verse number 36, Jesus immediately turns around and says, As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid, only believe. Now there's two things I hear Jesus saying in this passage. Number one, Jairus, problems are not the rudder of your life. Truth number one, problems are not the rudder of your life. Just because a problem arises, just because the doctor diagnoses you, just because the bank says, "You know what, we're going to take your house, we're going to take everything you have," just because problems arise in your life, that does not dictate where your life has to go. Are you in here in the house tonight? Problems, situations, things that arise are not the rudder of your life. I'm thankful. They're not the rudder of your life. All right, that's truth number one. Truth number two that I hear Jesus saying in this passage, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Truth number two is where you respond from to your problems will determine the outcome. So the rudder of our lives is where we choose to respond from to the problem at hand. Will you and I respond from our flesh, or will you and I respond in faith? Will you and I respond to the rationale of our minds and what the social systems say? Or will you and I respond from what we know God's word boldly declares over our life? See, here in verse number 36, when Jesus says to Jairus, "Do not be afraid," fear is simply our minds coming to the conclusion that whatever we're facing is out of our control. Let me say that again. Fear is simply our minds, our flesh, coming to the conclusion that, hey, whatever we're facing, it's out of our control. We can't do anything about it. And so Jesus comes along and he says, don't respond from your flesh. Don't respond in fear, but respond in faith. Jairus, fear not, only believe. Only believe. The Bible teaches us that cursed is the man who makes flesh his arm. In other words, the man that's cursed is the person who goes about obtaining things and acquiring things and doing things in his life based on his own strength, based on what he thinks. The Bible says that man is cursed. But the Bible says that if you respond by faith to your problem, you'll see a change in your situation. How many of you realize tonight that your flesh and God's word will take you in two different directions? Your flesh and what God has for you, your flesh and, watch this, your Bible-formed beliefs will take you in two different directions. You're having financial trouble, offering bucket passes, your flesh is like, uh-uh. Your Bible-formed beliefs, your faith, God's word says, hey, be faithful, I'll be faithful to you. So truth number one tonight, Problems are not the rudder of your life. Truth number two tonight, from where you respond will determine the outcome. And finally, tonight, truth number three, the danger in problems is what I call the distraction factor. The danger with problems is the distraction factor. What do you mean by that, Pastor Joey? In other words, when problems, when circumstances, when situations arise in our life, when we face mountains, the problem with the mountain is that we get so taken away with our problems, so blown away by what we're facing, so taken up, so worried, so careful about what we're facing that we forget what God told us to do about our problem. Listen tonight, young adults, so taken up with the fact that your boyfriend doesn't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Girlfriend has left you. She doesn't care. She found somebody else. We forget about the one who will never leave us, the one who will never forsake us. So taken up with, listen guys, I know this is tough, so taken up with the cancer word. There's not a person in here, there's not a person anywhere who would ever want to face something like that. So taken up with the cancer word, we forget that Jesus paid the price with his broken body and with his shed blood. And that the Bible declares that by his stripes you are healed. The price has been paid, the door has been open. But because the cancer word, and we know what happens in people's lives when they get cancer, so taken up with the mountain, so blown away, so taken back with this, that we forget about what God's word told us to do about that. So taken up with our financial situation, we forget that God will supply all of our need. If you follow me, I'll supply all of your need according to my riches and glory. Listen, so taken up by whatever, we forget about the God who loves and cares for us more than anybody else would. And the truth of the matter is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he opened up a door and he made a way for them back then, he'll make a way and he'll open up the door for me today. Amen. Tonight I'm finished. If you got something from God's word, why don't you give him a great big praise?